Good evening from Gustavus City Hall. It's 7 p.m. and I'd like to call the July 18, 2022 general meeting to order. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Makowiak?
Here.
Councilmember Vander Zanden?
Here.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Here.
Councilmember Furr?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Councilmember Lewis?
Here.
Councilmember Sharman?
Here.
Okay, we have all members present and a quorum exists.
Thank you. Our first order of business is to read the vision statement, and I'd like to call on Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop to read our vision statement this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources, with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety, while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and a caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Bishop. We move on to approval of the minutes, and we have two sets of minutes to approve that have been distributed to the council previously, and so we've all had a chance to comment on them, but they are the minutes of the June 13, 2022 general meeting and the June 21, 2022 special meeting. I believe Councilmember Joe Vander Zanden has a motion to approve those minutes, please.
Yes, I move we approve by unanimous consent the general meeting 6-13-22. Meeting minutes and the special meeting minutes from 6-21-22.
Thank you. Do we have a second, please?
I'll second that.
Okay, thank you. That was Councilmember Moskowiak. So it's been moved and seconded to approve the general meeting minutes of June 13, 2022, and the special meeting minutes of June 21, 2022. Do any members of the public have any additions or corrections to the minutes as they've been posted? We have a, yes, Leslie Sirstad from the public has a. It's in the topic of the special meeting was to, right. We had one item. I'm trying to remember what it was. Well, yeah. It was to approve.
The topic of the special meeting minutes was a resolution CY22-13 encouraging the prompt startup of the power intertie between Gustavus and Bartlett Cove.
Right, thank you. It was our special resolution, if anybody missed that, to recommend the approval by the National Park Service and the AP&T Power Company to come to an agreement to put the intertie into operation as soon as possible. So, yeah. Okay, do any other members of the public have any additions or corrections to the minutes? Okay, seeing none, do any council members have any additions or corrections to the minutes? Okay, seeing none, are there any objections to adopting them by unanimous consent? Okay, seeing no objections, the minutes of those two meetings are adopted by unanimous consent. The next item is Mayor's request for agenda changes. I don't have any changes that I wish to request. Is there any, do any council members have any reason to reorder anything in the agenda? Okay, I see no hands coming up. So we'll call the agenda as set. We'll move on to committee reports and staff reports. And we'd like presenters, as usual, to keep their reports to 5 minutes or so or less. And the council may ask clarifying questions only of the presenters. So the first is the report from the Gustavus Volunteer Fire Department, the quarterly report. Fire Chief Sol Martinez, your report, please.
Hello, can everybody hear me?
We can, yes. Sol, please proceed.
Okay. So yeah, things up here are kind of picking up as summer goes, as far as calls go. We're still kind of working around the building, trying to clean up. I ended up cleaning up the backyard here with some help with a couple of volunteers, and downstairs in our underneath the stairs as well as got cleaned up by also help with some volunteers as well. There was also a little bit of discussion on grant options to maybe hopefully purchase a new water tender to replace Tinker 2, the one that's sitting currently outside. It's because it's stick shift. It really limits the people who can drive that thing. And generally, it will help speed process of getting water back and forth from the water source and to the fire when it comes to that place. We also had our triennial drip mass casualty drill during this time as well. And thank you for the volunteers who helped out as responders, and also to the people who also were play actors to help make the scene more, feel more realistic to for the responders as well in training. So we appreciate your help. I do feel like there should be a little bit of response. There was a request to put a cell phone booster installed by the dock. Unfortunately, because of how cell phone boosters work, it's not feasible to be placed there, just because cell phone boosters require construction around the building or vehicle to in order to for the cell phones to catch it. You have to be standing like the right spot for the cell phone booster to work for your phone. Next month here, we're starting sizing fire gear since the budget for the purchasing for fire gear was approved. We started getting the gear together for volunteers and sizing new fire gear so we can get that going. I already received the gloves and the fire hoods already. I'm still waiting on the rest of the gear. We also had our first heart saver CPR first aid class to the public, which I'm still providing classes for. I'll be actually teaching the teachers at school in August or so, and then also students hopefully soon after. If you're wanting to have a CPR first aid card, go ahead and send me an email or give me a call at the fire hall. I can put your name on the list. As far as that, working on purchase more radios to hopefully When we get new volunteers, we're able to provide them a way to actually respond also for dispatchers as well. We want to become a dispatcher. And we also hired a second position for a COVID-19 tester. This is allowing us to expand our hours to the way it is now. So we're open Monday to Friday, 9 to 4. Saturday, 11 to 4. Sunday, we are closed. Also, we have a tester at the airport when the jet comes in, and also at the, when the ferry comes in as well. So if you're coming in and want to get a test, look for the vehicle with a big yellow sign saying free COVID testing, and she will have antigen tests available. We're also then preparing for the 4th of July and Lucky Race during that time. Not sure, I'll probably break it up a little bit because my internet connection. I do want to thank everyone who contributed funds to help the Gustavus Volunteer Fire Department Association that helps the association in providing funds to help the volunteers and also help some community members as well. And also I want to thank the volunteers themselves and helping in cooking and prepping for the food as well. With that, with the event that happened on 4th of July, I want to make sure that people are getting the counseling that they would like. The Gustavus Clinic can set up a telephone, set up a session via telephone or Zoom with Mountain Side Behavioral Health, or you can call them directly. The phone number is on there as well. I don't think I need to go over the CPR class again over there. But we always are looking for responders and dispatchers, volunteers that come and join us. So if you're interested in volunteering for a community, give me a call or send me an email if you want, if you're interested to see what it would be like. We do train every Tuesday. Again, goals are, I'm still looking for purchasing a new water tender for our water tank, one of our water tankers. Also, the next project is I'm working on is trying to paint the exterior of the building. I do have a scoping document that I'll be submitting hopefully soon. And also, I just got plans to for a new tower to be placed around the fire hall building to replace our radio repeater antenna. This will hopefully expand our radio coverage throughout Gustavus. So other than that, that's all I have. Unless anybody has any questions.
Thank you, Chief Martinez. It's been a busy last quarter for the fire department, and we're reminded how vital a service the volunteers and the chief at the fire department provide for us. And sometimes it means going to some, taking care of some pretty difficult situations as occurred in the 4th of July. And the volunteers who responded have our deepest appreciation for that response. It was a difficult one to deal with. So thank you, Chief, for that. Do any council members have any questions for Chief Martinez? Councilmember Lewis.
Yeah, thanks. I second what you just said about kudos to the volunteers and to you, Sol. Thanks for the great report. I was just wondering if you could share the name of the person who's hired for the COVID-19 testing or if it's still in the works.
Oh, no. It's Cam Cassiopo again. We hired her from Parapass.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great choice there. Do any other council members have a question for our chief? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much, Chief, and keep up the great work with the team. And again, our greatest appreciation to everybody who serves and our encouragement to others who wish to join and help provide this vital service in our community. Okay, we'll move on to the next report is from our city clerk with her quarterly report. Madam Clerk.
Thanks. I just wanted to thank all the volunteers for that helped to clean up the park and get it ready for the 4th of July. We had a lot of people help. We had volunteers Meadow Brook, Ann Wildman, Jane Button, Vaughn Bauer, and Kathy Hawker that planted flowers not only here at the Salmon River Park, but at the library and the fire hall, and also the welcome sign at the entrance from the airport there. The LDS Church mowed the lawn as they do every year and cleaned up just before the 4th of July, and it looks really great. I've been working recently with the fire chief, Sol, to teach him how to update the website for his department and also the COVID-19 page. And that way we can kind of keep it more up to date on days that I'm off and help each other with that. I've also been working with him on his department records for records retention and schedule. And so that's getting started. My plan is to work with each department as I can to help them with their department records, hopefully in the near future. I wanted to say thank you to Kathy Leary, our new city administrator. She recognized the need for some help here at City Hall cleaning. And so now we have John Sanchez helping 1 hour a week to help me clean City Hall, which is wonderful. I really appreciate that. And then the 2022 elections, we've got three coming up. The primary election on August 16th, the City Council and Regional Educational Attendance Area, also known as REA, on October 4th, and the general election on November 8th. I'll post as many updates as possible to remind people. Early voting for the primary starts on August 1st here at City Hall, and that will be from 9 to 4, Monday through Thursday, and 9 to 3 on Fridays. So that'll be going on from August 1st to August 15th. We also have two council seats that are expiring this year. So if any of you people out there know of somebody that might be interested in filling to a seat for city council, spread the word. And yeah, we'll get the word out there. And just hope that lots of people are interested and we have a really good election year. I've started work getting ready for those elections. I have a timeline that I work off of and tells me all the things that I need to do starting 90 days before the election. So I've already started working on that. I'm currently working on reviewing our code and updating some sections in our code regarding elections, specifically contested elections and special needs voting steps. So that's all I have for now. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I really appreciate Madam Clerk, your work in helping get the 4th of July celebrations underway and organized. It was really helpful. Do any council members have a question for our clerk on her report? Okay, I don't see any questions. And so thank you again, Madam Clerk, for your report. So we'll move on to the Marine Facilities quarterly report. And do we have our Marine Facilities coordinator online? hear Ben Sadler. Might be on.
I'm on. Can you hear me?
We can. Yes. Please proceed, Ben.
Okay. Great. Unlike my colleagues, I really don't have a whole lot to add to my report. Things have been going pretty good this summer. It's busy. And I guess the one thing I did want to add is that since writing my report, I spoke with Chris Hart about the repairs to the collar ties, the repairs that he did. I spoke about in my report. They were temporary. He told me that the DOT had informed him that the new gates were being fabricated and should be here in the middle of August, and that he would be back around that time to finish the job. And other than that, I don't have anything unless anybody has any questions for me.
Okay, thank you, Ben. And I hope everybody will read his report, which is a little over about 2.5 pages or so. And he's been pretty busy, as always. Do any council members have a question for Ben on his report? Looks like council member Lewis has a question for Ben.
Yeah, thanks. I see the note about the feeding of sea lions is not as big of a problem this year. I was just wondering if you could just say a couple things about that. Like, what are people taking their fish out into mid channel like we've asked, and are sea lions still hanging out down at the dock, or have they moved?
Yes. So different companies are doing different things, but all the companies are collecting the carcasses inside their boats, whether in their fish wells or in buckets or just in the decks of their boats. They're cleaning them at the dock. They're keeping the carcasses inside the boats, and then some are taking them out to the 200-yard mark off of the dock, and some of them are taking them to their moorings. But none of them are dropping them at the dock. I haven't seen or heard of anyone doing that at all. And so that has been really awesome. And all the owners have spoken with me and informed me that all I have to do is tell them one time and those people will be gone. And that's how they've set it up with their new employees. And it is mostly new captains down there, which also has helped a lot with what the rules are and how people should be acting. And the sea lions, up until a few weeks ago, we only had the one larger sea lion hanging out at the dock. I had got reports that the other smaller sea lions were hanging out at the mouth of the river. I can't confirm that. I haven't seen any sea lions at the mouth of the river, and I don't know why they would hang out there, but that's what I've been told. But I did see all three of them at the dock the other day. In the afternoon, there were no charter fishermen there, but there were three sea lions swimming around. So the sea lions haven't left necessarily, but they're not feeding off of anything that the charter industry or local fishermen are dropping off of the float. Hope that answers it, your question.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. That is absolutely incredible and super happy, and we should all be feeling pretty proud of that, that our approach has seemingly worked for now. Good job, everyone.
Thank you. Yes, that really is a big deal. And our charter outfits are to be congratulated for taking the step to manage that issue much better than in the past. And it's really upped our sort of environmental performance down there by a large measure. And so they are to be congratulated, along with Ben, for helping them or encouraging them to see the light on that. So thank you, Ben. Any other questions for Ben or comments? Okay, well, thank you very much, Ben, for that report and for the great work at our marine facilities. The city treasurer's financials are in the packet. And I believe she is off today. So am I correct on that, Madam Clerk? Yeah. So I encourage you to read the, check out the financials in the packet. We're just at the end of the first month here. So we're looking at the things that happened in the first month. And there's some things we pay for immediately up front for the whole year. It's a little, it gives you a rather early shot at how we're doing for the year. And it'll become more evident as we, as the months go by in the fiscal year. So we thank our treasurer, Eduarda, for that report. With that, the next item would be the city administrator's report. And she is off today as she is back east visiting her mother. And so I would encourage you all to take a look at it. She's been really busy and actively working on a lot of things that have come up. And one of the things she spent quite a bit of time on and is making progress on is improving our telecommunications issues. She's been in contact with the cellular outfits and with ACS, and we're trying to work with them to improve cell service coverage, and AT&T has a plan to make some improvements at their tower here that may increase. I got a note back today from our contact at AT&T, said they have evaluated the cell tower site up at the Overlook on the Hydro Road, their engineers have, and have concluded that a tower there would not make a significant improvement in coverage. They will be sending us more details on that study that they made, and I'll pass that on to the council and the public when we have more information on it. But it doesn't sound like they see that as an advantageous location for a tower. So we'll look forward to whatever other improvements they make here locally, higher tower and so forth at the existing site and some other improvements, and hope that we get a little better cell coverage. We have been in contact also with ACS about the difficulties in getting repair persons out here or even putting in a notice when there's an outage. So we'll be continuing to work with them on that. But Kathy got a lot of that started for us. So, and she'll be back about the end of the month from her scheduled trip. It was scheduled before she came on board the city. Okay, so that's it for our city administrator, city reports. And we'll move on to the next item is public comment on non-agenda items. And so this public comment period is for non-agenda items only. It's not intended for discussion, but council members may ask clarifying questions. So if you would like to make a public comment on non-agenda item at this time, if you're in the room, you may raise your hands. We have three members of the public here. Or if you're online, please click the participants icon and then the hand icon to raise your hand. And if you do not have that option, unmute your phone and the clerk will add you to the list and then remute you until it's your time to speak. State your full name before speaking and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker, please. Please do not use profanity and be respectful with your comments. You'll have one opportunity to comment now and then another opportunity at the end of the meeting when we once again have public comment for non-agenda items. So do any members of the public wish to speak on a non-agenda item? I see. Well, here in the room, we'll start in the room with Dr. Rod Vaught, and then we'll go to Leah Oaken online. So, Dr. Vaught, you could come to this microphone here, probably be the quickest. For those of you who don't know it, Dr. Vaught is the medical director for our fire department, and as I understand it, is now also serving, has been appointed by the search clinic to serve as a liaison with the community. So Dr. Vaught, welcome, and we're pleased to hear from you.
Well, thanks, Mayor Mike. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah? Do I keep my finger on the button?
No, you just release your finger.
Okay, yeah, good.
Okay, light stays on. Go ahead.
Good. Well, I'm Rod Vaught, and I've been asked to be the liaison between the community and SEARCH, Southeast Alaska Regional Health Corporation, that is building our new clinic. So I primarily wanted to let the council and the community know that I'm here. And if there are concerns, questions, thoughts about health needs that could be provided by SEARCH at the clinic, to please let me know and I'll communicate those directly to them. As you all probably have seen on Dock Road, the clinic is being built and progress is said to be doing well. A very soft projection of occupancy is roughly next April or May. There is a definite effort to have X-ray provided. I've seen that there is a definite effort to provide more privacy for patients at the clinic. But I personally am very open to any ideas. And if I can leave my email with the city council.
Yes.
And then
we'll send it out to everybody.
Anyone in the community that has an idea with respect to what they feel community needs are that could be provided, just let me know and I'll do my best to get things done.
Thank you. Do any council members have a question for Dr. Vaught about the new clinic or anything else with regard to our health clinic here? Okay, I'm not seeing any more questions coming up, but I hope everybody will take advantage of Dr. Vaught's offer here and let him know if you've got ideas for the clinic. And it is exciting to see those trusses going up the last few days, and the clinic's going to be a great addition to our community.
I think it is. And I did forget to mention, Mayor, that there is an ongoing search for a permanent provider. And as well, some plans for backup for that provider so that we can try to keep that provider in the community. But please do let me know anytime if there are any questions. Thanks a lot.
Great. Thank you. Another vital service, of course, for us. So, we'll go on to Leah Okun.
Hello, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor and members of the City Council. I just wanted to make a public comment just so that, just about the Gustavus Visitor Association was approached by several businesses in Gustavus. Can you hear me okay before I carry on?
We can, yes.
Okay, great. So the Gustavus Visitor Association was approached by several businesses in Gustavus that operate in Gustavus to appeal to Aramark as the concession of the Glacier Bay Lodge to advertise the activities and services that happen in Gustavus in the Glacier Bay Lodge as having rec cards and just showing some of the services and the taxes and the activities that happen in Gustavus. In the past, they have had rack cards showing some of the things which happen in Gustavus, but this year they decided not to have any rack cards, not even the concessionaires of the park, let alone activities that happen in Gustavus. So I spoke to Glacier Bay National Park Service, and they said that I need to write a letter to Aramark to appeal for Aramark to request from the superintendent to put rat cards up. So I did that, and we have not heard back. And I just wanted to let the public know that, and also the city council know that, you know, there's often a divide between the Glacier Bay National Park and Gustavus. And the Visitors Association is always looking at ways that we can join the two and enjoy the sort of symbiotic relationship that we have with the park. So I just wanted to let the public know that we're appealing for the Glacier Bay Lodge to advertise services that happen in Gustavus. So that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do any council members have a question for Leah Olkin? Leah, I've got a quick question. So do I understand then that the park service is okay with having rack cards posted, but it's just the concessioner that has the issue with that?
Correct. My understanding is that the National Park Service recognizes the value and the importance of supporting the local community, but the request needs to come from Aramark.
Okay, thank you. And I'll see if I can put in a strong word in favor of that from the city standpoint. We certainly do want all of our visitor organizations supporting each other, and we want to make it broadly clear to visitors all the great things that are available to do in Gustavus and in the park so that they can all make the most of their time here and maybe spend a few extra days. So thanks for that.
Absolutely. Leah,
and we'll see if we can help you move that forward.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have another comment in the room here? Was that?
Yeah, Mayor. I think Council Member Lewis had a question for Leah, and then we have Leslie that would like to speak after that.
Thanks. Okay. Council Member Lewis has a question, I believe.
Yeah, thanks, Lee, and thanks for trying to make some effort on this. I was just wondering if you've tried just calling Aramark, talking to the manager. I've heard something about that they would need to be approved vendors and liability. That's just what I've heard from connections at the lodge. So there might just be something that's out of Aramark's hands at this point, but it might be worth just like a phone call. Just wondering if you've tried that approach.
Thank you. Yes, I have tried to contact two people at Aramark. I've tried to contact Ingrid, and I've also tried to contact the district director as well. And they haven't responded, and I've written several other emails as well, and they haven't responded. And it seems like it would be an easy process to, as far as, you know, all they would need to do is provide the services rat cards that wish to be advertised or displayed, and then for the superintendent to look at those and approve them. And I don't think there's anything in them that the superintendent would disapprove, but they just need to provide what the services are. So they haven't responded, and I understand they have a lot of things going on. But it does make a big difference to the services that are in Gustavus, that people are tied up there in the lodge, and they have no idea of what's going on here in Gustavus for either their staff or their visitors. But yeah, they haven't responded. But I have reached out. Yes.
Great. Well, thanks for trying.
Thank you. Any other questions for Leo? Okay, I'm not seeing any other hands come up. So thank you very much for your comments, and we hope to see some progress on that. Are there any other members of the public with public comment on a non-agenda item? I think we have a comment from Leslie Sirstad in the room here.
Do you hear me now?
We can, yes.
Okay. I guess this is a public comment, so I can say something. As concerns the activities, if I understand right, between Glacier Bay Lodge and the community, I do know that there is one event that the employees from the lodge come over and take part in the community. So it gives them a chance to learn about community way. And that's the weekly softball games. Yeah. So I can give you that much info. And it seems to be going well.
Right. Any questions for Leslie Sirstad on her comment that the softball games weekly draw people from the lodge and it's nice to have them out here? Okay, seeing none. Thank you, Leslie. Any other comments on non-agenda items from members of the public? Okay, looks like that's it. There's another opportunity at the end of the meeting. And moving on down the agenda, we have nothing on a consent agenda for this month, and we have no ordinances for public hearing. There's no unfinished business from previous meetings. So we move on to new business. The first item of new business on the agenda is item number 8 on our agenda, the award of the RFQ FY23-01 RM for annual road maintenance for fiscal 23. Do I have a motion to award this contract? I believe from Councilmember Sharman. Maybe we lost count. Oh, no, he's on here. But Councilmember Sharman, I'm not hearing you.
How about now?
That's great.
I would like to move to award the contract for annual road maintenance, snow plowing, emergency response, and disaster recovery to Glacier Bay Construction per their response to RFQ FY23-01 RM in the amount of $237,751.20.
I'll second that.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to award RFQ FY23-01 RM annual road maintenance contract for snow plowing, emergency response, and disaster recovery to Glacier Bay Construction per their response to RFQ FY23-01 RM in the amount of $237,751.20. And so I'll give a little summary of what this is. This is our annual road maintenance contract, and we have, though this year, added or merged the snow plowing contract that we usually do separately in the fall to cover the winter into the annual maintenance contract. Part of the reasons for that are that road maintenance such as grading and gravel additions are now sometimes happening almost every month of the year. And so snow plowing is often interspersed with that. It makes the most sense to have it in a single contract so that we don't have to rebid it in the fall. And it also gives the contractor a little more time to prepare for snow plowing, which means making sure you've got the right equipment ready and the plows are already well in advance. So they're not just finding out whether they get the job, whether they get the contract in October and they have to plow the next day or something. So, and then we've also added emergency response and disaster recovery work so that it's covered under this contract, and the contract is now written to meet as best we are able to the requirements for federal contracting that FEMA places on municipalities for FEMA funding. And so we don't have to rebid emergency response disaster recovery work. After a disaster occurs, we can just automatically use the contract that we have pre-positioned for that. And that was a recommendation that FEMA gave us after the December 2020 flood and our recovery work at that time. So I'd add also that the amount at the end of the contract is just the sum of all of the individual possible orders. And the contract really sets in place unit prices for things like snow plowing and grading and so forth of each roads, and we estimate a few times for each for roads according to what we think we might need to provide that service, such as grading Rink Creek Road, for example. And then all of those total up to a sum at the end, but the contract is written so that we can add or subtract quantities. Now, an exception to that adding and subtracting quantities, something that we've done this year, is to provide for a minimum expense for snow plowing for the year. And the reason for that is it takes a lot of investment to gear up for snow plowing, and the insurance for snow plowing is quite high in municipalities. Plus the contractor is going to have to be here all winter. They can't take off to Hawaii for a month or something in January. They've got to be here whether it snows or not. And so that's by way of making it worth their while, we have this year provided for them to bid a minimum cost for the whole snow plowing season. And so Glacier Bay Construction are sole bidder on this contract. So that's the background on it. Do any members of the public have any comment on this contract award? Okay, do any council members have any comment on this contract award? Council Member Muscoviac.
I just want to say that we're very fortunate to have a reliable contractor, and it really means a lot to the community. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. We're hearing a second to that here in the audience, here in the room. Do any other council members have a comment on this? Okay, I should add one other thing. The contractor wrote a caveat in the contract with regard to snow plowing on some difficult roads where there's an inadequate turnaround space at the end, saying that they would decline to plow those roads unless we can make improvements for the turnaround at the end. And that's been a real problem on just a handful of roads. And with that in mind, we are already planning to fix those turnarounds so that I anticipate we will be able to plow all the roads and they'll have enough space to turn the grader or the snowplow around at the end. It's an improvement that we've needed to make on those roads all this time. And I don't mind at all that it's been called to our attention with a little pressure this time, but we'll get it done and we'll have snow. Okay. With Madam Clerk, maybe have a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Sharman.
Yes.
Councilmember Makowiak.
Yes.
Councilmember Furr.
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all council members in favor.
Okay, thank you. That contract will go into effect before the end of this month. And I thank Glacier Bay Construction for once again offering their services for the next year for our community's road system. Okay, that brings us to item number 9, a motion to amend the Gustavus Community Center Endowment Fund grant budget. And I believe on this item. Councilmember Furr, I'm not hearing you here in the room.
Can you hear me now?
We do. Thank you.
Great. So I move to approve amendment of the Gustavus Community Center Endowment Fund grant budget by moving funds within the following categories, but not altering the final total of the grant awarded to the Gustavus Community Center. So to the category of main hall stage from $7,050 to $5,690.60. To the category of gallery lighting from $2,075 to $3,682.40. To the category of gallery removable panels from $250 to zero.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second. This is Councilmember Lewis.
Thank you, Councilmember Lewis. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve amendment of the Gustavus Community Center Endowment Fund grant budget by moving funds within the following categories, not altering the final total of the grant awarded to the community, Gustavus Community Center. To the category of main hall stage from $7,050 to $5,690.60. To the category of gallery lighting from $2,075 to $3,682.40. To the category of gallery movable panels from $250 to zero. And this is a process we occasionally have to go through when we have a grant and it turns out that costs turn out to be a little different in construction than they were when the grant was originally applied for. And there's a process whereby the grantee can submit a letter to the council asking to adjust their budget, and then the council approves it. So that's what we're doing here. Do any members of the public have any comments on this motion before we move to the council? Okay, seeing none, do any council members have any comments on this item? Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Council Member Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yeah.
Vice Mayor Bishop. Thank you. Council Member Makoviak?
Yes.
Council Member Sharman?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Council Member Lewis?
Yes.
Council Member Furr?
Yes.
Motion passes with all council members in favor.
Okay, thank you. We'll forward that approval to the community center. And that brings us to item number 10, FY23-01, introduction. This is the introduction providing for the amendment of Title VI, City Departments and Contracted Services, Chapter 6.03, Waste Disposal and Recycling, Sections 6.03.040 and 6.03.050, with public hearing scheduled for the August general meeting on August 8, 2022. I believe Council Member Muscoviac has a motion for us, please.
I move to approve introduction of ordinance FY23-01, providing for the amendment of Title VI, City 03, Waste Disposal and Recycling, Section 6.03.040 and Section 6.03.050, with a public hearing to be held on August 8th, 2022.
Thank you. Do we have a second, please?
I'll second it.
Yes, I'll second that.
We have a second from Council Member Van der Zanden. Thank you. So it's been moved and seconded to approve introduction of ordinance FY23-01, providing for the amendment of Title VI, City Departments and Contracted Services, Chapter 6.03, Waste Disposal and Recycling, Section 6.03.040 and 6.03.050, with public hearing scheduled for August 8, 2022. Do any members of the public have any comments on the introduction of this proposed code change? Okay, seeing none, do any council members have any comments on this introduction? Okay, and if the public, I didn't give a summary of what's happening here, but this is actually just changing the the statement in our code as to what the staffing is at the DRC, and it provides for us to have an operator position that is separate from the existing operator manager position. And that's a position that we have budgeted in our budget for FY23. So, okay, no other comments from council members? Okay, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Makowiak?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Motion passes with all council members in favor.
Thank you. We move on then to item 11 to approve the Gustavus Disposal and Recycling Center operator position description. And I believe we have a motion from Vice Mayor Bishop.
Yes, I move to approve the Gustavus Disposal and Recycling Center, DRC, operator position description.
Thank you. A second, please. Well, I'll second it just to move it forward here quickly. And I think I'd like to call on our DRC manager operator, Paul Berry, for a kind of a staff report on this. He didn't know that I was going to call on him, but I know he's always ready to explain what he's got going here. So Paul, if you'd care to make a comment and offer what this is about, we'd be delighted to hear from you.
Can you hear me? Yeah, I remember proposing this at the July meeting, or no, I think it was in the August meeting of 2019. So this is not a new proposal, but I'm glad that it has finally seen the light of day and is a funded position. This is to split out the duties of the manager from the duties of the operator. And it's such a time in the future that the council wants to combine them again, that's fine. It doesn't mandate that they always be separated because I wanted to be sensitive to some of the people's concerns about city staffing. But I think it's a logical separation in terms of overall management, and then someone who's the operator whose sole focus is on providing the operation, managing the waste mound, managing the temporary work staff, the equipment, and the flow of people and waste. So it's a logical distinction. And the position description is pretty much based on the work I've done so far with the temporary labor pool. It's just that this individual will be a regular position and does not have to reapply every year.
Okay, thank you very much, Paul. Do any members of the public have any comment on this, on the approval of the operator position description as it's posted in the packet? Okay, seeing none, do any council members have Any comments? Or if you have a question for Paul, I'll allow you to entertain that as well. Looks like we don't have any further questions on that. So Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Furr? Councilmember Furr?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. Councilmember van der Zanden. Councilmember van der Zanden.
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Makowiak?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Motion passes with all council members in favor.
Okay, thank you. We'll look forward to Paul being able to fill that position. Okay, that finishes the new business report. You have my written report in the packet. I'd like to hit a few highlights. I'd like to reiterate the thanks that our clerk Karen Platt expressed for those who worked hard to prepare our Salmon River Park area for the Independence Day festivities. And excuse me, I'd like to begin by thanking Glacier Bay Construction for their renovation work on the parking areas in the park and around City Hall, and to Jeff Jarvis from DOT for providing and nicely spreading some new fine gravel in the parking area in front of the park along the Gustavus Road and the DOT right-of-way. Marine Facilities Coordinator Ben Sadler for repairing the planter boxes and installing the new parking strips there. Karen Platt, Meadowbrook, and Ann Wildman led the selection and planting of flowers in the planter boxes, the hanging baskets. And we had enough extras that we could take some of them also to the library and the Welcome to Gustavus sign out by the airport. And I'd also like to express my thanks to the LDS Church volunteers under the leadership of our former council member, Joe Clark, for mowing the grass and generally sprucing up the park here. And they made it look really great. So the work of all these volunteers has brightened our community in time for the holiday. And it makes me proud to be part of this community when it looks great like this. At the library, I'd like to thank our librarians, Jesse Soder and Leanne Weichel, for getting together the reading kids and working with them to plant the flower box there, and getting a start on the pathway for the story trail. It's a nice winding trail in the woods behind the library, and I look forward to seeing the first stories posted on it as they build the as they install the stands for the storyboards. With regard to the holiday celebration, I'd like to acknowledge and thank Robin Jones, who worked with Karen to organize and post the activities. And it was really a great set of activities that went on. I hope the welly wangling becomes a regular event. We were saddened by the holiday incident down at the beach, a private fireworks accident, and it was unrelated to our planned community fireworks display, but there were many members of the community there, and everybody was saddened by the loss of the life there, and our condolences go out to the family of the young person, and thoughts to everybody who witnessed the event, the responders who came, and so forth. And it reminds us, it's a sobering reminder of the disastrous power of fireworks to alter lives suddenly and forever. So let us resolve to apply all appropriate risk controls whenever future fireworks are planned anywhere in Gustavus. Kathy Leary's had a busy first month, and you had a chance to look through her work session report and monthly report. So I'm really pleased to have her on the team, and she's been really diving into things, and that's been great. We talked a little bit earlier about phone service issues. We had a 8-day outage on ACS to about a third of the community. Was determined that the outage was caused by a phone cable being severed by an excavation. I don't have any more details on exactly where that occurred or how. But we've had some discussions with ACS about the difficulty that we had, particularly over the 4th of July weekend, in getting a report into them, and then the time it took them to get their technician out. But we were pleased that technician did come out on July 11. It was 8 days after it began, but they quickly got most of the area that was affected into service. So we'll continue to work with ACS. We're asking them to make it easier to leave an outage report so we don't have to wait until they actually have somebody in the office. And we're encouraging them to plan to come out more quickly whenever there is an outage. Good River Bridge repairs. We received the engineer's report evaluating maintenance and repair needs on the Good River Bridge. It does appear that we need to take some action on the embankment at the northwest corner of the bridge by the near the entrance to the Tidelines Institute. The road committee will be meeting to come up with a plan. We have options in the report, and that gives us a basis for looking for grant funding from some of the infrastructure grant money that's available from the feds. So we'll be moving forward with trying to get some outside funding to fix the bridge. There's nothing that's critical. There's no reason to reduce the load limit on the bridge. Structurally, the bridge itself is in good shape, but it does have some carpentry repairs that are needed, and to things like guardrail posts and so forth. And then the separate work on the embankment that could be rather substantial. So we'll try to get some outside money for that. The library bike shelter, we've given a notice to proceed to PND engineers to design the structure. We need a design that is adequate to submit to the state fire marshal for approval. I double checked with the fire marshal's office. They said indeed that three-sided structure does need to have their approval before construction. So the design plans and specifications will be adequate to submit approval for us to put it out to bid with an RFQ. That may take several months to get through, so it's possible we won't be able to build that actually until, say, next spring, whenever the ground has thawed enough to allow footings to go in. the Grandpa's Farm Road Bridge. The bridge package is under is in manufacturing by Western Wood Structures. We're hoping that it will ship to us around mid-August, but it could be the end of August before we see it, and construction may occur about mid-September and have that bridge in the old post office preschool building. I've had a meeting with Ken Magawan, who's expressed an interest in renting the building and doing some repairs. We are looking into, we've been using the budget of $10,000 that's in our capital budget for cleanup of that building and just general readying it for at least minimal use. And Glacier Bay Construction has begun the grounds work, has cleared a lot of the brush. They will be raking the lot and will hydro seed it, so it'll have a much nicer appearance than it did when it was overgrown with willow shrubs and so forth. And we're getting prices on doing repairs that are necessary, like removing the entries that are decayed, and painting the structure and so forth. So providing electricity to it. So we have discussed the needs with, we move forward letting the council know what we're doing. The plan is to stay within our $10,000 budget and possibly have the building into a productive use by next summer. Softball field that Leslie Sierstad mentioned, popular event or events there here in the summer with weekly games. And we learned, we had a call from Jeff Jarvis at DOT saying that despite the fact that the softball field has been in use for over a decade, I'm not sure how long, but I know it's at least since 2011, the DOT says there needs to be a special use permit for that. The softball activity is not a city activity, but the advocates for the popular recreational program approached the city and asked if we could help them by filing an application for a permit. And the city can file that permit and probably get it at no fee, whereas if the individuals who play softball there tried to do it, there would be a large fee. So did file that application now and did it on July 11. And we'll follow through the process and hope we can get the permit in place and so that the softball games can continue unhindered for, we hope, the next decade or so that I asked for the permit for. We are completing FEMA recovery and mitigation projects. We've qualified with all the work that Tom Williams put in to working the reimbursement process at FEMA online, and all the meetings we had were scheduled to get about $260,000 in reimbursement, and that includes some funding for additional mitigation work. And we'll be extending the ditch along Wilson Road as far as Hemlock Road and doing ditching on Tong Road as part of that. So we're making progress on those projects with the help of the FEMA funding. Our annual road maintenance contract we have passed tonight, so that's all good news. We had some meetings with our state legislative delegation, Senator Jesse Keel and Representative Andy Story, who will be the representative for this district after redistricting. She's running unopposed, so she'll be our representative as Sarah Hannon's district has been shifted and doesn't include Gustavus anymore. We appreciate Sarah's representation of us over these years and look forward to working with Andy Story as she serves us. And she had a nice tour of Gustavus here and seems very enthusiastic about our community. We got on the Intertie an encouraging update from NPS Chief of Maintenance Jake Olson, saying that the resolution that we passed at the special meeting on June 21st was or is effective in helping the NPS and AP&T work together to get the Intertie started up soon. It allowed NPS to do some things that they felt constrained from doing without the city's concurrence on that. So the resolution did its job. COVID cases are on the rise in Gustavus. At one point we had about 11 active cases, 11 or 12. Now I think today we're down to 8. And I can only urge everybody to take care, be as responsible as you can and as helpful as you can for, there are many members in our community who have vulnerabilities that mean that they just can't afford to be infected with COVID. So let's all be thoughtful of our fellow community members and what their needs may be and try to, at this point, I haven't felt that we needed to reinstate the mask requirements for city buildings, but I'd be very interested in hearing during council comments any thoughts that council members have about protective measures the city might make. But for the time being, staff members in City Hall are using masks, and so we're applying the one-way masking as a personal defense without making it required at this point. We had a visit today from the U.S. Forest Service representatives from the Hoonah Ranger District. Marlene Duval, Hoonah District Ranger, came by City Hall today. They're visiting Gustavus today and tonight. They leave on the ferry going on to Pelican tomorrow. And they wanted to stop by and get a look at Gustavus. And they also went down to the park, and it was a pleasure to meet them here in City Hall and have a discussion about what makes Gustavus tick and all the great things that go on here. The opportunity coming up is offered by the Tlingit-Haida Regional Housing Authority, scheduled for September in Juneau, and the exact date is uncertain, but it's, I think, likely to be around the 17th of September. And if anybody is interested in building their skills for heat pump installation, this might be just the ticket. That training will be over in Juneau, and you can reach me here at City Hall, and I'll try to get you information about that. And then the last item, per the direction of the council at our last work session, I replied to Dennis Graves, the city manager in Hoonah, regarding their invitation to Gustavus to join them in a Hoonah borough. And the consensus at the work session appeared to be that no council member saw any reason to change our policy as stated in Resolution 19-19, so from 2019, in which we declined to join at that time what was to be a Glacier Bay borough with centered at Hoonah. So we replied to them cordially, thanking them for their letter and letting us know what they had in mind, but saying that we would be declining to participate, and we felt that they would be more successful with their effort if it did not include Gustavus. So I think all the council members have a copy of that letter in the email, and we've got it posted on the city's website for anybody who's interested. So that's it for my report. Does anybody have any questions on that report and what we're doing? Probably not. Okay, I'm not seeing any there. So I think we can go on to council comments and let me get my schedule here. Yeah, council questions and comments. If you have questions or comments on something you've been working on or would like to discuss, I see Joe Vander's hand and has his hand up. Joe?
First, I just wanted to thank you for that letter you wrote to Huna. I thought you did a good job on that. But I wanted to give a brief report on the hydro recently. That resolution that we passed about the Intertie, I voted against. I was hesitant because the hydro hadn't been fully tested yet. But now it has been. The engineers were out. They brought load banks and they ran the thing up to a little bit over its 800 kW capacity. I'm not sure for how long, probably not very long, but that generator has sensors for vibration and for temperature, bearing temperature, either of which can shut the thing down, and they didn't. So it was a good thing. That doesn't mean we should all run out and get electric water heaters, because for the times that we do have to generate by diesel, as long as diesel is around $6, the cost of 1 kilowatt generated by diesel is a little over 42 cents, which is more than we're paying for all of our electricity right now. So we're not out of the woods, but as long as we have water and nothing breaks, the hydro is a good thing. So thank you.
Thank you, Joe. It does make me feel more confident to know that you're thanks a lot. And I'd remind people that the power company has a website in which you can tell whether we're on 100% hydro or if we're supplementing with diesel, what percentage is diesel. And usually if I'm going to plug in my electric car, I check to see if we're on. You can decide whether or not to run something that's going to use a lot of power if you want to not draw on the diesel. So that's one way to make use of that information that the power company puts on their website. Jim Muscoviac.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that website because I looked at it while I was standing at the near the generator. I was standing at the community chest, and the generators were not running, but it only showed we were 78% of capacity. So I have my doubts about that website. Somebody can maybe fill me in on that.
Yes, I've noticed that sometimes it is not correct, and I actually raised that with Jason Custer, and I'll continue to question them on that. We would like them to put out the best information so we can make the most, make sure that we're making the most efficient use of our hydro facility that we can, and keeping the diesel down. So, but yes, Jim, that's correct. And thank you for pointing that out. Any other council questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, I think that brings us to the end of our agenda. I thank everybody for tuning in, and thanks to council members who joined us from home. We'll look forward to seeing everybody back here at the table when conditions are a little bit better on the COVID standpoint, from the COVID standpoint, maybe next month. So thank you all for participating. Oh, if I missed something, Madam Clerk?
The second.
Oh, I do. Public comment on non-agenda items. I missed that. Thank you. So do any members of the public have any other comments on non-agenda items? Not the first time I tried to pass that accidentally. So, okay, I guess not. So we'll move on to adjournment then. And once again, thank you all for tuning in, and we'll see you next month. Good night.
Good night, everyone. Thank you all.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.